Matthew chapter number 4, if you'll find that place and put your finger there. Matthew chapter number 4, find Matthew 4, place your finger there, and then go to Philippians chapter number 2. We'll come back to Matthew chapter number 4 in just a minute. Philippians chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. And then we'll read through verse number 18 responsively. I'll read verse 13 aloud, and then you'll join me on verse 14. We'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 18, Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 13. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice in me." Now, if you will go back to Matthew chapter number 4, Matthew chapter number 4, we'll read verse number 4 together. One verse, Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by every alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for what you've done in our midst this morning. It was a great service. We enjoyed the spirit of patriotism. Lord, we thank you for the emphasis that was placed this morning. Lord, we thank you for the group of people here, many who have spent time serving your country. Lord, we thank you for that service. Lord, we do thank you for America. And this evening, we're here yet again. It was good this morning, but we need you again tonight. Lord, we enjoyed this morning, but may our eyes not be on the previous blessings of this morning's service, but may we be prepared to receive new blessings this evening. As the word of God is being preached, may our mind be focused on the truth. May we be yielded to a Holy Spirit and a heart tender to its teaching. Lord, please, we'd ask that your hand be on the service this evening. Fill our pastor now with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. And we'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a bit tonight. I would like to really talk to you individually. I know I'm preaching to a good crowd of people and a crowd of good people. Well, most of you, but I think if you'll listen to me, your whole Christian life could be changed. Your whole attitude of Christianity, whether you're for it, against it, or not quite sure where you're at with it, could change. For many years, I've been preaching. This July 31st, it will be 42 years I've been preaching. Shut up, Brother Scott. Little twit. I have grown up in Christianity. I'm 55 years old and been going to church for 56 years because I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched. I've been in church my whole life. I mean that. And by the way, I don't think that's a bad thing, not at all. But some things are sometimes difficult for me to understand, and sometimes I struggle. I'm going to make some statements here. Please don't crucify me. You'll see where I'm headed in a moment. But religion or denominationalism has seemingly taught that spiritual life is a separate or independent part of life. In other words, you do spiritual things at church, or you do spiritual things at private times, and you visit doing spiritual things, but when spiritual things are over, life begins. To the lost world and to the liberals, they try to broaden that spectrum even more. They take the term separation of church and state, as I said this morning, and they don't even know what that term means. It's not separation, no God and no country. Separation of church and state was the state cannot tell the church how to operate, and the church doesn't tell the state how to operate. That's what separation of church and state are. There is no publicly sanctioned church by the government. That's what separation of church and state is about. Not that you can't pray at a public place. That's separation of God. And as I said this morning, that's why we're in the trouble we're in. Now, don't get me mad, I'm going to start preaching again. We have, even in our Baptist churches, seemingly adopted somewhat the same idea. Most churches teach people to be spiritual or to do spiritual activity at church, or you'll hear this term used a lot, in your quiet time alone. Churches now entertain or teach to broaden one's mind, but churches are failing to teach people how to live. Church is not an entertainment center. Church is not a social center. I don't find a hot dog roast anywhere in the scriptures. Pig roast, but not a hot dog roast. God told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Amen? Now, wait a minute. I find nowhere in scripture that the church is to be the social center of your life. By the way, I find nowhere in scripture where church is the only place you're supposed to be spiritual either. But I will tell you this. Church is also not to be a higher education class, and as all we're doing is filling your notebook with notes about facts in the Bible, and you don't know how to live anything you put on paper. Now listen to me carefully. You need to get this or you'll be lost for the rest of the sermon. Spiritual life is not a separate part of life. Man who is lost, man who is born with, and by the way, we're all born lost. Least you think you're not, wait till they turn two or three. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You'll know they're sinners then. Mm-hmm. And they're acting like a sinner. Now hang on for a second. Man who is lost is dead spiritually. God made man body, soul, and spirit. When man sinned, his body did not die. It began a process of death. His soul did not die because your soul is that which allows you to communicate with one another. But what died in Adam and Eve the day they sinned was their spirit. That's why in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said unto him, you must be born again. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It didn't say anything about soul. Didn't say anything about your feelings, your emotions. But he said, you're dead in your trespasses in sin. And he said, ye must be born again. We get born again, not by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We realize that we are sinners on our way to hell, deserving of sin, and that Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood at Calvary, died, was buried, and resurrected 3 days and three nights later, and he conquered death for you and me. He paid our sin debt for us. Watch this. The moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, you're born again. Amen. Not by your righteousness, but by his righteousness. Not by the good that you do, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you have to realize something. Lost man has a dead spirit. Listen to this. When a person gets saved, they add spiritual life to their life. They add spiritual life to their life. It is not a separate part of life. It is not a part that we are to visit occasionally. It is eternal life added to our earthly life. There's a word in the Bible called regeneration. That means regeneticized. In other words, the moment you trust Christ as your Savior and you get saved, the eternal genetics of God are added to your life spiritually because the Holy Spirit moves in. And you now have eternal genetic life given to you by God. That is what the doctrine of regeneration is all about. Now, hold on. God did not give us the Bible and spiritual life to just visit occasionally. It is all there to teach us how to live here. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Man cannot, what's the next word? Live by bread alone. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at me. I hold in my hands the only book that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Yes, sir.
The King James Bible. It is the one for the English-speaking people. Now, may I say this? Church and religion, etc., are not to teach you to visit spiritual life. They're to teach you how to live. Matter of fact, we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 16, he calls it the word of life. Oh. Not the word of spirituality, the word of life. Listen to me for a moment. When God met with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden daily, God was teaching man about the earth. He taught man how the earth worked. He taught man about the tides. They named the stars. He taught them about oil, gas. Taught them about metals, how to get them, where to get them, how to mine them, how to work with them, how to get them from rock and use them. Man was not a caveman wandering aimlessly on the earth trying to figure out how to survive.
Amen.
That's a bunch of Tommy rot from a bunch of heathen. Man didn't have to discover how to survive. God taught man how to run the earth. Why would God create something so vast and wonderful as this earth, pop two people on here and say, okay, figure it out for yourself, y'all. God doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, that's contrary to scripture because God said he is not the author of confusion. Everybody doing okay? All right. God gave man the knowledge and the training needed to help run the earth and to make life better for man and to enjoy the abundance of earth. Man did not discover it. God told man about it and showed him how to use it all. There's no such thing as the Stone Age and the Copper Age. And the Iron Age. And the Steel Age. That's a bunch of garbage. Did you know the ancient Egyptians had electricity?
Yep.
They had running water. They had running sewers. They had aqueducts. You're not as smart as you think you are. They've been doing it for thousands of years. Did you realize that most of the government positions we have in our country are based out of the Bible? Read through the Bible and find out how many different types of political positions are mentioned in the scriptures and how many we use in our government today. But we're not a Christian nation. Now, spirituality is not a separate part of life. Listen to this statement. It is life. Spirituality is not something you visit. It's something you live. Lost man does not have complete life because his spirit is dead. Now hang on, it's about to get a little rough. You don't really begin to live till you get saved. Man, lost in his trespasses and sin, let's live it up. No, they're dying it down. They're not living it up. And Brother Juan and I were talking. There he is. We were talking earlier after we got the pig on. I said, you know, the worst day being saved is better than the best day being lost.
That's right.
I mean, shoot. Worst thing for me, I'm not in heaven. Best thing for a lost person is they got to live another day. Because they only have hell to look forward to. Now, listen to these statements. Religion relies on traditions, rituals, and self-righteousness. Religion relies on traditions, rituals, and self-righteousness. But spiritual things are not a part of life. They're just something they visit. True spiritual life permeates every part of your life. And it opens up life for you to live it as God intended for you to live. The world is all freaked out right now. I'm having fun. Somebody asked me a little while ago, "Preacher, how you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm having more fun than ought to be legal." I really am. I'm enjoying life. Everybody was freaked out about COVID. COVID, where you go, that's the word. God hath not given spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Who are the ones that don't have a sound mind right now? Who don't even have a mind? In the White House, all right? Now, wait a minute. Spiritual life permeates every part of life because spiritual life is complete life. Now, the Bible, if only written by man, would merely be a history book. Religion teaches it mostly as a history book. Sometimes it's only taught as a storybook. It's just a bunch of stories. It's just a bunch of historical stories. And we can see what was, but that's all it is. Jesus said that he is the living word of God. Not what was. He's what was, what is, and what is to come. He's not the great I was. He's the great I am. He's not the God of the past. He's the God of the present also. Now, hang on. Because the Bible is the word of God, it is also the words of life. The Bible is to teach us how to live, not just what happened in the past. The religions of the world treat the Bible like a book in a museum. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Did you ever go to the Archives Museum in downtown D.C. and see all the old documents? That's the way most people view the Bible. It's just an old document. But may I say something? These are the living, breathing words of God. We have a statement that we kind of live by around here. Our church is a hospital, not a museum. Do you know what the word museum means? Museum is a place of thinking or contemplation to remember what was in the past. The average church, religious institution of the world today is a place of contemplation about oneself. Isn't that the total sum total of selfishness? I hear this often from new people as they come to our church, especially as they come out of other denominations. They say, "Preacher, this church is just so practical. It's not one thing. It hits every part of life." That's because it's spiritual. If it is only something you visit, then it's not spiritual. Let me give you a few thoughts here, and then we'll get things rolling here. First of all, the Bible is as alive as Jesus is. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. We're going to use our Bibles, so lick your finger and stick it in your neighbor's ear or something. John chapter 1. No wet willies. John chapter 1. And I want you to follow with me here. We're going to zoom through about 10 verses here, not all in the same spot either. So look at John chapter 1. I want you to notice the capitalization of words and the use of words. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the
Word.
Is it capitalized?
Yes.
All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Skip down to verse number 14. And the, what's the next word?
Word.
Is it capitalized?
Yes.
That's the same one that's in verse number 1 then, right?
Yes.
And the Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the only begotten of the Father?
Jesus.
So Jesus is the Word of God. We read in Philippians 2:16, He calls it the Word of life. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It's right before the book of Revelation, just a few pages. I'm about to shout. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Here we go. You ready? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the what? Word of life. Capital W. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we may also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, that means this, the Word of God is as alive as Jesus is, because He is the Word of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, just a few pages over to the right there. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse number 17. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse number 17. It's talking about God and Jesus here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Guess where He wrote them? In the Bible.
Amen.
That's what the Bible is all about. And guess what? He said, "I was dead, but I'm alive because I resurrected. And I grabbed the keys of death and hell." Hang on, go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hurry, 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 hurry. Romans chapter 8. I got two more points after this. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Nobody ever got saved by the Ten Commandments. That's not the law. The law is the law of sin and death. That means this. When a man sins, he's guilty of death, correct? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the law is not about 10 commandments. The law is about the law of sin and death. Skip down to verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. God says that spirituality is life. That means it's something that has to be lived. Oh, look at verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. The more righteous you are, the more life you get to experience God's way. Amen. I didn't say it, God did. Turn back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It's a good thing I cut a bunch of verses out tonight. John chapter 6, look at verse number 35. John chapter 6, verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of what? Life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at verse 48. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Not only did he say he was the bread of life, he said, I am that bread of life. Look at verse number 63. Same chapter, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. What did we read in Matthew 4:4? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God had to speak this Bible to man. These are not man's words. These are God's words, or there is no life.
Amen.
That's right.
The resurrected Jesus is what gives authority and life to the scripture.
That's right.
Man is not to be rewriting the Bible.
Amen.
When man rewrites the Bible, he brings death to man, not life to scripture. Don't mess with the King James Bible.
Amen.
Don't piddle with other man's versions of it. Just realize that the Bible is as alive as Jesus is because he is the Word of God. I didn't go into the book of Revelation where it talks about his name written on his vesture, which is the Word of God. Hello. Secondly, spirituality is a part of every part of life. Spirituality is a part of every part of life. Now listen to this statement. The world wants it to be separate because they don't want to face the consequences of their own sin. Man tries to separate spiritual life from physical life because man does not want to face the fact he's not God and can't control his eternal destiny. Hang on. Man wants to be his own God. They want to decide right and wrong for themselves. Well, I hate to tell you, but the alphabet soup crowd isn't right in God's eyes. I don't care what letters you put to it, LGBTQ and whatever else, the alphabet soup crowd does not please God. I'm against the sin. I'll pray for and give the gospel to the sinner, but their lifestyle is an abomination to God.
That's right.
Sodomy is wrong. God destroyed cities of them, and he hasn't changed his mind.
Amen.
Man cannot live without the word of God. What the world calls living is really not living, it's death. The person sitting in the bar tonight getting drunk is not living. They're dying. The person shooting drugs into their system tonight are not living. They're dying. Oh, you just don't understand. You need to live it up a little, preacher. Man, I'm having more life than you've ever experienced. The immorality and the jostling of unholy skirts tonight that will go on all over America is not living, it's death. The filth of Hollywood, the violence, the filth, the lying. Folks, if you understood how much witchcraft and demonism and Satanism is involved in Hollywood, if you just look at the titles and the characters. And I'm going to go to my grave saying this, and I'm on an island all by myself, but what a lot of you look at as okay is nothing but a bunch of demonism. Like Marvel. I'm even against Robin Hood. You don't rob from the rich to give to the poor. That's communism. Ouch. That one went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? Well, it's Disney. Yeah, look where they're at right now. Proverbs chapter 4, you need not turn to some of these. I'll get there before you. If you can get there quick enough, that's fine. But if not, don't worry about it. Rather you listen. Proverbs chapter 4, listen to a couple verses here, starting in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. May I say something? If you live according to this book right here, you'll live a healthier life. I didn't say you'd never be sick. I didn't say you'd never die. But you'll live a healthier life. Do you know, I don't have to worry about STDs. I've been married for 33 years to one woman, one woman only. Everybody doing all right? I don't have to worry about crashing my car because I'm drunk, because I don't drink. Had a medical do jigger for life insurance recently, as I talked about a few weeks ago. The lady looked at me, I said, don't worry, no smoking, no drinking, no tobacco, no drugs, none of that. Been married for 33 years with the same woman, one woman only, and that's enough. She said, Pastor, you're going to make this a whole lot easier. No alcohol? I said, none. Not even at church? I said, especially not at church. Yeah, buddy. Thought to myself, I even made it through a building program and didn't do it, all right? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Oh, you Christians, you just don't know how to have fun. You don't know how to live. No, you lost people don't know how to live. I'm having fun. You don't know what you're missing. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 12. Psalm 16, verse 11 talk about Jesus and God and the words of God being our life. Spirituality is what gives you life. A person that is one third dead to life doesn't understand life. If one third of your body was unusable, part of your life would be crippled. Correct? Then why is it that one third of people's life, their spirit is dead, and they think they're alive? Listen to this. The farther away from God and the Bible and spiritual living people get, the more violent and evil things happen. Now I'm going to meddle. Hang on. Man's way of living always ends up in death. And I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it. BLM, pro-choice, rallying against the Supreme Court, people trying to kill and loot, burn cities, attack police officers because they don't agree with a decision a court made. That's right, and that's healthy. Look at how much death and destruction abortion has done illegally for 50 years. Almost 72 million babies have been slaughtered. Tens and honestly hundreds of billions of dollars made by those slaughtered babies. And now they're upset that they can't slaughter the babies. And we're the bad people. Everybody doing all right? Come on. Just because a color of somebody's skin doesn't give you the right to protest. Guess what? You didn't do anything about the color of your skin, neither did I. It doesn't matter to anybody. I don't care if you're red, black, green, purple, chartreuse, white, or anything in between. I'm colorblind. Who cares? Good night. We fight over the stupidest things. And just because somebody has something you don't have doesn't give you the right to go in and take it without paying for it. I don't care who you are. You come into my house uninvited to take something, they're going to carry you out. And you're going to be dripping everywhere. Hate to tell you. I got plenty of firepower. Make sure you ain't walking out on your own. Say, well, preacher, that's violent. What do you think they're doing? I'm protecting. That's my right. Spirituality is to be a part of every part of your life. Did you know it's spiritual to work?
Amen.
And you're supposed to work in a spiritual way?
Amen.
Oh. Do you know that good grades in school are spiritual? Ouch, that just went to meddling. But isn't that what John chapter 14:26 is all about? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance. You don't have a bad mind. You have a lazy mind and an unspiritual mind. Number three, I've got to hurry. Church is to teach life, not just help you visit spirituality. Church is to be a place of practical living, not an ethereal inspiration of your brain. Most of you don't have enough to inspire anyway. It's already expired. Church is not to be a place of respectful contemplation. Terms that some of you from other denominations have heard. It's not ornate buildings and spooky music to invoke a sense of spirituality. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been in a couple big tabernacle type, cathedral type churches, and they got people buried in the walls. That gives me the creeps. Folks, I don't want to go to church when somebody's dead on the other side of the wall. I preached at enough funeral homes. I don't want to preach in a church every service, and I don't want my office next to them. And then they got to play all this spooky music, you know, with these big pipe organs going. Isn't that wonderful and spiritual? No, that's depressing. Man, you walk into this building, it's bright, it's exciting, it's loud. And people are happy and laughing and carrying on. Hey, that's what God wants because that's real living.
Amen.
Church is to be a place to teach people how to live in the real world.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to get in trouble. I have family like you have family that don't understand spirituality. And I remember years ago some of my family members and on both sides of our family saying things like, you're just sheltering your children too much. They'll never function in the real world. Well, one's my assistant pastor. One's an airman first class in the Air Force, working security forces out at Beale Air Force Base in California. The other's married to a young man who's successful in construction and part-time in the ministry. I guess I didn't do too awful bad. And the one that's in Georgia, she's teaching in a Christian school, her second year of teaching. But I protected them from the world, and they're not going to know how to function in the world. They're not sodomites. They're not addicted to alcohol. They're not addicted to drugs. They haven't been in and out of jail too many times. you knew that one was coming. Now, wait a minute. Guess who they call when everything's a mess in their life? Some of our family, extended family, have come back and said, how'd your kids turn out so good? Oh, we just protected them too much. They criticized what they didn't want to do, but look at the product. Or as my preacher would have said, proof's in the pudding, and there's the pudding. Church is teaching on topics, not just filling notebooks with facts. Could I stand here and use big, long words and sound intelligent? Probably not. Why? You wouldn't understand them anyway. That's why the average church, you go put your time in and leave and glad you got out of there. I'm not to motivate you. I'm supposed to teach you how to live. There's something healthy about teaching that when a kid turns 12, their brain falls out their ear. And for a couple of years, they're ditzy and dumb, and, well, that's most of their life. But there's a few years in the teen years there where they just kind of, you know, the only difference between 3 and 13 is 10 years. They walk the same, they talk the same, they think the same, they act the same. But eventually it catches up. Their brain, they find it again and shove it back in there a little bit. There's healthy teaching about that. There's healthy teaching about marriage that I do often in here and life in general. Now, wait a minute. We can get so wrapped up about life that we don't add spirituality to it, though. We can talk about the news all day long, but you're not going to change it, so what good is it? People may criticize you that you don't know what real living is. But the truth is, they don't know what real living is. People that weren't in church today weren't living, they're dying. We're the ones having fun. Man, you watch somebody get saved, that's enough to make you want to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Watching people grow in the Lord, man, that makes me want to shout. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. Let me read one more set of verses here, and I'm going to be done, I promise you. Sometime. 1 John chapter 5. Now, if you didn't get anything, get this, and then I'm going to shut her down here. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 11 with me. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. May I say something to you? You don't have real life till you get saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. The lost world does not know how to live. The saved knows how to live.
Amen.
Now it's going to hurt. Then how come saved aren't living life? They're wanting to live death. We're wanting to live like the death of the world. We want to have the world's music and the world's dress and the world's entertainment. And we want the death of the world and think we're going to be spiritual because we go to church. Our lives need to be centered at church and on spiritual living. But may I say this with other spiritual people, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But may I say something? Spiritual living ought to be done at home. That doesn't mean your children go around calling you Father and God. Gag. But I do think that the word prayer and praying with one another ought not be awkward at home.
Amen.
I think that telling the truth ought to be a part of life and it needs to be trained at home. I think respect ought to be taught at home. If your children will learn to respect you and your spouse and their brothers and sisters, some, that they'll have a better chance of respecting God. Maybe we ought to practice spiritual living at work. Maybe we ought to work the way God says we should work. Maybe we ought to get along with lost people the way God says we should get along with them. Instead of complain about it, get angry about it, and get stressed about it, how about we get along with them, love your enemy. Do good to those that despitefully use and persecute you. Those verses are in the Bible too, you know. Did you know you can be spiritual and go shopping? Now sometimes that's a little hard. Running over those old ladies with the carts gets a little rough every once in a while. But Brother Harry does it pretty nice. After he runs them over, he says, oh, sorry, and keeps going. No. But did you know you can be spiritual when you drive? Ouch. Did you know if you let somebody go through the stop sign before you, you're not going to die? Do you know you can be spiritual and do laundry?
Oh, come on.
Ladies, maybe you wouldn't get so frustrated with him if you thank God for him while you cleaned his clothes. Hey, fellas, maybe you could mow the grass in a spiritual way and be thankful you have enough grass to mow and a place to live. Yeah. You see, we're supposed to add spiritual life to our life. It's to permeate every facet of our life. Spirituality isn't something you visit. It's not showing up to church. I was spiritual. I'm done. Now I can go back and live my life the way I want to. Oh, no, 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 no. Being spiritual is life. We sometimes need to be refocused. My fear is, I wonder if you know for sure you've been saved. If you've never been saved, you don't understand spiritual life. It doesn't make sense. Oh, in recent days, I've heard this 50 times. Preacher, I've heard people say the answer is the Bible and Jesus, and I thought it was just a pet answer, but the closer I get to Jesus and the more I understand about the Bible, the more I understand they're really right. Yeah, it is. It's not sprinkling spoofle dust and everything in your head just goes and you know everything. But when you practice what that book says, it is life. It's not weird. It's weird to the world because they're dead. They're dead. They don't understand life. Follow me around in the store sometime and watch people just go. I was at one store not too awful long ago. It was early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, some 5:30. I was whistling and some guy says, how could you be this happy in the morning? And the lady behind the counter, she said, he's a pastor. And the guy looked at me and said, oh. And I reached in my pocket and handed him a gospel tract. He didn't know what to do. I said, sir, if you knew what I knew about going to heaven and you knew how good God was, you'd be as happy as I am. That guy walked away with splinters in his finger from scratching his head. Can I tell you something? I'm having fun. I'm enjoying life. I don't have to get drunk. I don't have to get high. I don't have to be immoral. I don't have to go to some rock concert. I don't have to go to the world for entertainment. I can have fun at church. Isn't that what spiritual life is all about? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Give everybody the respect they deserve for a moment. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, and I won't embarrass you just like I did not embarrass them. You say, preacher, if I die tonight, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but someday I'd like to know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hand down. who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand. When we stand, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you need to come and pray at the altar, you come. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, would you come? If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. You won't be embarrassed, I promise you. This is a place where you get saved. That's what it's all about. This crowd will rejoice with you, not make fun of you. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the Bible and show you. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that tonight. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, we'd love to have you join our church. Maybe you just need to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and get some things right in your spiritual life.